Hello, and welcome to This Song, the podcast where artists talk about the songs that changed their lives and give us a glimpse into their creative process. I'm your host, Elizabeth McQueen, and in this episode of This Song, we'll be talking to Austin R&B and hip-hop artist Jake Lloyd. But before we get started, I want to ask that if you like this podcast, then please head over to iTunes and leave a rating or a review. Like, it really helps people find this podcast, and it helps all of us who make this podcast know that we are on the right track. And maybe you want to write a review. That would be cool. You could also, like, write a little story in your review about a song that changed your life. I promise to read all the stories we get in the comments on this podcast. Or maybe you want to, like, tell us the story of a song that changed your life. Well, we would love to hear it. In fact, we're going to put together an episode of listener stories. So go ahead, record your story to a voice memo, and then send it to us at thissong@kutx.org. We can't wait to hear it, and it might make it into that episode. Now, to Jake Lloyd. He's a singer and a songwriter and part of Austin's burgeoning hip-hop scene, and I talked about this earlier in the episode I did with Maylot about how Austin, like, we're known for being a music town, but we're not known for our hip hop and R&B scenes, but they are coming on. And Jake Lloyd, he's one of the reasons why. He's been playing music professionally in Austin for close to a decade, though I didn't meet him until recently. I actually got to know him through Confucius Jones and Fresh Night, the hosts of The Breaks. The Breaks is our hip hop show here at KUTX, and KTX is the radio station where we make this podcast in Austin, Texas. So Confucius and Fresh connected us via Twitter, and I checked him out. And when I heard his record, which is self-titled, it's called Jake Lloyd. It was released earlier this year. I knew I had to have him on the show. Jake is not afraid to mix genres. You'll hear R&B mixed with hip hop and rock. He even throws some reggae in there. And he came into KTX and told me about a song he heard that made him realize how cool mixing genres could be.
The song that changed my life is Let's Get Down, Tony.
Yes. Tony. And DJ Quick. You didn't think we could flip it on your ass, huh? Something for the dance floor.
At the time, being like 6, 7, and so I grew up a lot around R&B, soul, and funk. That's what I grew up on. My dad was a huge Motown guy in the soul, and my mom listened to a lot of Rick James, a lot of funk. So with DJ Quick bringing that on the track, and Tony with their soul and R&B, it was kind of just that mix, you know, together, and me being old enough to actually be able to point it out on my own, you know what I'm saying? So that was cool. It's kind of like seeing your parents meet, you know, kind of just being in the back, you know, and kind of just watching them meet, if you could be a fly on the wall for that.
Doors open so homies get busted out. And ladies, if you come and leave your children at the nursery so you get slow on the anniversary. Feel me, I dip out. So don't be looking.
The very first time I heard it, we were on a road trip to Corpus. Both of my parents are from Corpus, and we were going down to visit my grandparents, and I believe it was on the radio. It was on the radio. They didn't have the CD then. I want to say they went and got the single because of me requesting it. And that was before, you know, you could get on the phone and just play it whenever you wanted to. So we had to get the single. And I remember vividly begging my parents to, can you play that song again? I didn't know the name then. I was just the song, and I would try to sing the lyrics or the melody to them. And they're like, oh, okay, we know what you're talking about. So they'd play it, and it was repeat. I remember listening to that song in my mom's car just over and over.
Now that I feel a little better than I felt a while ago.
kitchen table too. That's my folks, and everybody knows my name.
What's up, Sadiq?
Now table three, that's B. Grant, and table four, that's G1. You best be prepared, cause it's on again, you know. Come on, let's get down, let's get down.
I don't know, it just really touched me. It really made me want to kind of go in that direction, that sound. You know, I just really liked that R&B funk kind of rap-ish, you know. It kind of explains a lot of what I do too. All the eclectic sounds of that kind of R&B urban side. I played it on the way over here, so I feel like, you know, have it really, really fresh in my brain. I feel like that song just really stuck out to me because I could really hear, like, in the music itself, I could hear the West Coast vibes from DJ Quick. They're both DJ Quick and Tony are from California. I want to say Tony is from Oakland and Quick is from Compton. So I could really hear little nuances in the music that was straight, you know, just Compton gangster rap-esque. And he used a lot of synthesizers, and I don't know. It was just that song was really the first one I heard that was just mashing all of that stuff together that worked to where I could recognize it, you know, personally as a kid. And it was really like, wow, I can hear the R&B and the I don't know. I guess it was just melodies and being able to like really just pinpoint it as a kid, whereas a lot of other stuff, my dad would have to say, "See, son, this is this," or "See, son, this is this. This is the elements," or "This little riff is, you know, that's the rock and roll," or "That's the, you know, whatever. This is where R&B kind of meets such and such." But that was one where I didn't really have to be told; like, I could hear it. It was a good eye opener to me. Like, damn, maybe I want to do this. And I remember singing the lyrics and Rafael Sadiq's range at that time. Like, I could really sing those lyrics well, and it was just something I just, you know, it just stuck with me as a kid, and I knew that was something I really just wanted to at least explore, if nothing else. I knew I wanted to explore that direction.
Now, yeah. Were your parents musicians? I mean, it sounds like your dad had a really good grasp of how everything was connected.
For sure.
In music, and he was really intent on teaching you that.
My dad used to be a musician. It was kind of like on the lower levels in Corpus back in the 60s and 70s. He dabbled in trying to play bass, but it wasn't really something that he pursued, not at the rate that I'm, you know, not like me. My mom really was just an enjoyer of music. She didn't like, if I asked my mom to sing right now, I don't think I could pay her enough to sing, you know. So she definitely wasn't. My dad wanted to be a musician and really just another lover of music. That's all I've ever known. That's all I really wanted to ever do.
So you really didn't play a whole lot of music when you were a kid, although it sounds like you felt the pull to create music. So how long between, or did you play music as a kid?
I did not. Okay. I mean, I was, I started writing lyrics and raps, and I wanted to be a rapper. I would say probably fifth, sixth grade is when I really, really was like, let me just write some lyrics down. And I guess it was kind of like the same for a lot of kids. It was just a coping mechanism, just something I did in my room. It wasn't even really something like, oh, I'm going to record this, you know. So, yeah, no, as a kid, I really didn't have, it was more so sports. The shift happened probably in high school when I really was like, I'm not getting a scholarship for football. So I went to Corpus Christi A&M in 07, and I went to school there for 2 years, and I actually did pretty good in school. But the night scene, like I said, the nightlife there wasn't really, it's not like it is in Austin. You know, people here in Austin were spoiled. And then I came back, and really that's when I feel like music really started becoming the real deal, like 07 or 09 when I had come back from school.
I can hear you, but I can't find you. Pots and pans are scattered everywhere. I'm sneaking up behind you.
dancing in your underwear. I don't know what I did to deserve of you like this, but I'm gonna keep throwing my pennies in that wishing well. And maybe in a couple years, when we finish out our careers, we can get the help that's overlooking that big old hill. Yeah. I must have a lot of dirt on my shoulder, cause you swept me.
Did you grow up here in Austin?
Yes, born and raised.
Born and raised?
I actually went to high school in Round Rock.
But okay.
I was born in Brackenridge, so I've been in the Austin area my whole life. Yes.
And was music something that you, was the music scene something that you kind of really understood once you got back from Corpus Christi?
No.
Or were you like hip to the music scene when you were growing up too?
I mean, I knew about the guys that were from here, like the Stevie Ray Vaughans, and I knew about, really, I guess back then that was the only one that I really knew. You know, like you couldn't turn on the radio or go anywhere. You know, I've seen the statues and all that stuff.
Yeah.
So I knew about him, but not really. Like, I didn't know much about the scene. I knew we were like the live music capital, and I knew it was a super bluesy town. I knew that the blues was like one of the biggest, that was what we were known for, but I didn't know much. I didn't know anything about the R&B scene. I didn't know if there was one. I didn't know, you know, I didn't know anything about that realm, that side.
Like I said before, Austin has not, up to now, been known for the hip hop we produce, but the scene is growing. And I wondered what it's like to be an artist actively working in a scene that's in the midst of developing.
I would say being part of that scene it's a gift and a curse. It's not a curse, but there's a lot of barriers that still need to be broken. It's definitely getting better. You know, the barriers are being broken, but there's still some things, you know, there's still some work to be put in. Sometimes in Austin, I feel like if you don't have a live band, or I feel like you don't really get as much respect doing urban music that you would if you weren't doing urban music and didn't have a band. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does, because a lot of urban music people just play to tracks or mm-hmm. play with a DJ. Mm-hmm. But in Austin, you feel like you're expected to actually have...
I feel like to get the respect that even you feel you deserve... maybe not respect, maybe that's the wrong word, but to get the attention, you know what I'm saying? I've been to shows that weren't necessarily urban shows or hip-hop or R&B shows, and I've seen people play same kind of stuff I'm singing that didn't have a band, and then to watch the reaction or to watch, you know, how many people are in the crowd, and then I come on. You know, and I'm sure it's different variables, but I feel like a lot of it is just people in Austin want to hear live music, you know, or they want to hear the bands. And if you're in the R&B hip hop scene, it's a little bit harder to get recognized if you don't have a heavy live presence. If they can't see you a couple times a month, I feel like you're really at a disadvantage.
It's kind of an unrealistic way to approach mm-hmm. music. I mean, playing a couple times a month in one market is actually a lot.
For sure.
And it can totally
Absolutely.
Wear people out.
Absolutely.
And you do play with a live band, don't you?
I do, yes.
Yeah.
I mean, I do shows also to backtracks, but yeah. my main gigs, main setup is with the live band, yes.
Yeah. Little dude, Billfold, you ain't even in my pocketbook. 10 the mill is real cold. Tell me who taught you how to cook. You dudes are shook. I can see it in your eyes, see it in your movements. Class is now in session. I am not the student, but you dudes is truant. Yeah, you truant. You are very, very late. Tell me where you been out here, huh? This is not up for debate. Had to get your crew some new gear, huh? Classless. Should've had your ass in classes. I'm putting people on game, and I'm handing out season passes. I'm on. But you would know if you just look around.
Being a rapper in Austin still kind of has like a negative connotation at points, you know. So I don't know. I feel like sometimes when people call me a rapper, I kind of can get on the defensive because it's like, hey, I do so much more than just rap. And I mean, I am a rapper, but I sing, and I don't feel like I should have to feel that way when somebody calls me a rapper. You know, I shouldn't have to feel that way, but it's just part of the scene and things that, you know, we're working on. And I feel like, rap is like, or hip hop is like the biggest genre right now. So we're the live music capital. We need to embrace that. You know, we need to embrace that. And don't get me wrong, dude, I love all of the scenes. I love all of it. I just want hip hop to and R&B to be on the same playing field. You know, you don't have to like rap, but let's just be open about it and understand, like, dude, there's a lot of stuff, a lot of people in Austin, a lot of musicians, a lot of different type of musicians. They're still musicians.
Now this is gonna sound strange coming from a man that you just met, but I wanna know, can I be your boyfriend, be your sponsor, be your rep? Don't play me for no Romeo, and I won't play you Juliet. You think you're rolling high with this other little guy, but trust me, you ain't seen Gucci yet. Oh, 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 I got a lot of...
Having the scene that blew up in Houston when all the, you know, the Texas rap kind of got put on, and then Dallas had a surge of... I feel like Austin has just been waiting for that surge of, you know, hip hop and R&B, and I feel like it's kind of on the verge. You know, I feel we got some talent here in all genres, but especially hip hop and R&B. You know.
Well, and you're gonna be part of the surge.
I'm looking extremely forward to it, and it's something that makes me proud to be able to say, like, you know, I got to help. Whatever, even if I don't do anything else, just knowing that I was part of it, and it's something that I'm always going to hold on to. So I'm having fun right now, and seeing the fruits of the labor actually kind of start paying off for everybody is cool. So I love it.
Do I look like a stranger, baby, when I'm getting it for? I sound like a stranger, baby, when I'm talking at all. Do I feel like a stranger, baby, when I push up on it? Now things can get stranger, baby. Show me where the private room is.
And this is Strange Fruit from Jake Lloyd's self-titled record. I'll post a link to the whole record on the show notes page for this episode at kutx.org, as well as a link to Jake's new video for Rosklut, also off this record. He also did a Studio 1A set, so I'll post a link to that. And we did a song of the day for his song Mile, and I'll post a link on the show notes page to that too. So yeah, go to the show notes page for this episode and you can get totally caught up with Jake Lloyd. And if you want to find out more about Austin's hip hop scene, then check out The Breaks. They're on the air every Saturday from 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. Or if you're like me and you go to bed early, you can listen like after at kutx.org. Just hit the listen button. And you should check out this month's Austin Monthly. There is a piece in there about The Breaks, and we are super proud of them here at KUTX. And that's it. You've come to the end of another episode of This Song. This Song is a production of 98.9 in Austin, Texas. This episode was produced by Art Levy and me, Elizabeth McQueen. Kelly Seal is our excellent intern and always will be. Thanks to Confucius and Fresh for hooking Jake and I up. And thanks to Deidre Gott and Peter Babb and Todd Callahan for all they do for this podcast. And yes, it's true. Our theme song is Mahout by Austin's own Hard Proof. Right on. Thanks for listening. Talk to you next time.